This Shabbos is a double parshah Nitzavim Vayelech. I'd like to learn a couple of the Nitzavim pieces and a very, very important piece on the Haftorah to Nitzavim. Do you have that in your edition? After Nitzavim, do you have Haftorah to Nitzavim? I really hope so too. Okay? And then you see in the Sefer is Rosh Hashanah and then Vayelech. We're not going to look at the Vayelech piece. I don't think we're going to have time for it. But I want to begin with the first piece in the Tzav. Kedushas Levi, Tavshin, Ayin, Zion. Rosh Hashanah, Mir Tashem, next Tuesday we'll do the Rosh Hashanah pieces. Unless we're building sukkahs or something like that, we'll see. Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Lokechem. We know how the parsha begins. Atem Nitzavim Ayom. You're gathered here today, you're standing here today. Nitzav literally means to be standing. Kulchem, all of you, Lefnei Hashem Lokechem. Standing here before Hashem, your God. One of the things that the Berditchever is most known for was his love of Jews and his limud zchus on every single Jew. He always tried to find a way to say good things about Jews. One time he was walking and he saw a Jew smoking on Shabbos, and he said, "Maybe you don't realize it's Shabbos." So he says, "I know it's Shabbos." So he says, "Maybe you don't realize you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos." So he says, "I know you're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos." So the Bidditch returns to the Bona Shalom and says, "Hashem, look how honest your children are. Look how honest they are. You tell the truth. You know it's Shabbos. You're not going to deny, 'Oh, I didn't realize it's Shabbos.'" He always tried to find some way to say something nice about a Jew and to try to be Malamed Tzchus on Jews, because he understood that when you're Malamed Tzchus on a Jew, you're not just saying a nice thing about Hashem's children, right? But you're actually changing, kiviyachol, the perspective that Hashem has towards his children. And if you look at yourself in the right way, and you look at Jews in the right way, then Hashem also, kiviyachol, becomes our shadow. Hashem responds in turn, and Hashem gives good things to Jews who see things in the right way. So every time he has a Torah that's trying to bring good things to Klal Yisrael, it's really a tefillah. It's given over in the form of a Torah. This is the Sefer of Torah. But really every piece, especially those pieces where he's trying to bring down good things for us, as he is clearly trying to do in this piece before Rosh Hashanah, is really a tefillah. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Uvo yivuar ha-gemara Rosh Hashanah daf lamed dalet. Imru lefonai malchios, say before me malchios, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. So that I can be crowned upon you. I can be the king over you. I can reign over you. I can rule over you. Imru lefanai zichronos, say before me zichronos. And of course we know that the structure of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is malchios, zichronos, and shofros. Right? So say malchios, say psukim of malchios, so that will make me king. And say zichronos, kedei shetala zichronechem lefanai letova. And let's talk about zichronos. So that way, you'll be mentioned and you'll be remembered before me in a good way. That your memory, the mention of you, remembering who you are, will awaken something good before me on high. We know that Hashem's very essence and His desire is to do good. If I were to ask you, why is it that Hashem created the world? Does He need us? No, He doesn't need us. Adon Alam, Asher Malach, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. You were the king before anyone was created. You don't need us at all. So why did you create us? So if you look in classic works of introductory works of Kabbalah and Hasidus, of Machshava, one of the major themes that's developed is that it's the nature of the one who is good. Right? Hashem, who is the essence of good, wants to share that goodness with others. So Hashem created the world simply because He wants to do good for us. And we have to remember that on those days when the world looks like it's out of control and I'm failing in my mission, pause for a second and remind yourself that the very reason God created the world is to give us a good time. Good time doesn't always mean pleasure, it doesn't always mean fun, but to give us a good time. So again, ki haklal hu abore baruch hu darcho lehetiv. It's the nature of the one who is good, lehetiv, to want to bestow that goodness upon others. Hu beprat liyisrael, and especially His chosen people, klal Yisrael. And it's an expression of His ratzon, it's a fulfillment of His will and desire, when He's able to bring good things and bracha upon Klal Yisrael. But God forbid, when Klal Yisrael ends up in a state where we're not worthy of receiving Hashem's goodness, So realize that that is upsetting to Hashem. Ein ze rotzon habore baruch Hu. Hashem hates punishing Jews. He does it if he feels that it's necessary. But Hashem's greatest desire in the world is to give us only goodness and give us bracha. I'll tell you a quick Svasemis. Svasemis says, Schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar avera avera. Svasemis explains it as follows. He says, when a Jew does a mitzvah, yeah? Schar mitzvah mitzvah. So we saw what the Berditchever writes in Parshas Ekev about that, right? The Berditchever and others tzaddikim say, schar mitzvah, the reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah. What greater reward could you possibly want than the mitzvah itself? That is the ultimate reward. Svasemis has a limud schus that it's more in line with what the Berditchever is saying here. Svasemis says, schar mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, right? Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. That, and like the Mishnah also says, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, right? And avera goreres avera. So Svasemis says, every mitzvah has two components to it. Every mitzvah has a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, right? That I'm actually doing what Hashem asks. But Svasemis says there's a second dimension. So Hashem says, put on tefillin, okay? So I got the mitzvah, I put on tefillin. The action of putting on tefillin is the mitzvah. But there's also a good feeling that I give Hashem. Why? Because Hashem wants to be able to reward me. So when I do things that will allow Hashem to reward me, Hashem is doubly thankful. Right? And my reward is doubled. The basic reward for doing what Hashem told me to do. But I also get a reward for making Hashem happy. That's how Svasemis explains, schar mitzvah mitzvah and schar avera avera. Every mitzvah, you don't only get reward for doing what God asked, but you get a double reward for making Hashem happy. And the opposite is also true. When you do an avera, Hashem says, I'm doubly disappointed. I'm sad that you didn't listen to me. And I'm also, kivyachal, I'm sad that I'm not able to give you the goodness that I want to give you. So Hashem's greatest desire, all that Hashem wants to do is give good things to Klal Yisrael, to be able to mashpia good things upon Klal Yisrael. Adrabba. Ratzon abore v'ta'anugo, that's our magic word. I told you we're going to see it almost every week. That the ta'anug, the pleasure of Hashem, the desire of Hashem is kishmashpia tovas al Yisrael. And it makes Hashem upset, kivyachal. It's against His ratzon to have to punish us. When we are worthy, right, Ra'uy, when we're fit, when we're worthy to be the recipients of His bracha, that's the greatest thing. And the opposite is also true. That when we're forced to be punished, that's not the ratzon of a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? That's the first thing we have to know about the general framework by which a Kaddish Baruch interacts with the world. That's Aleph. Beis. Says the Berditchever, let me teach you how to interpret the word lifanai, right? Panim and achor. Berditchever says, Vaklal hu, davar asher haratzon rotza bezeh, that which Hashem desires, when things are proper, when all the pieces are lined up, habachina hazos, this concept, bechina is a hard word to translate, right? But this expression, the aspect of this idea, is sometimes referred to as panim. Forward facing. And when it's not Hashem's desire, things go backwards. Achor. Okay? Hashem made man yashar, and we made the world complicated. Like I mentioned yesterday, the pasuk. Hashem made man yashar, the pasuk says, Vahim bikshu chashbonos rabim. With all of our chashbonos, we made a balagan out of it. But Hashem likes straight, simple, bracha, good things. An enjoyable, meaningful life. That's what Hashem wants. When it's against the Ratzon Hashem, it's achor, it's backwards. Something is in reverse. Okay? There's a lot about that concept. Interesting to think about the name of the month which we're approaching, Tishrei, is the Aleph phase backwards. Tav, Shin, Resh. The Torah actually talks about that, why that is. It's going in reverse. Because the fact that Hashem has to judge us is not something that Hashem likes. Maybe that's a simple pshat. Achor means it's against the Ratzon Hashem. Yeah? When things are going forward, that makes Hashem happy. Ah, so you'll ask the question, so Chodesh Av, Aleph Beis, that makes Hashem happy? It's a good question, but that's not our topic. It's a good question. Happy you asked. It's an excellent question. Okay. Good. So says the Gemara, so now says the Berditchever, with this understanding of Lefanai, or Panim and Achor, we can understand the Gemara we just read. Go back to the Gemara for a second. What did the Gemara say in Rosh Hashanah? Imru lefanai malchios, Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. Imru lefanai zichronos. Kedei shetala zichronechem lefanai letova. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? What's the Gemara telling us? Says the Berditchever, Zeha remez v'gemara. Imru lefanai malchios. Hashem says, when you come to Rosh Hashanah and you crown me as king, it should be lefanai. It should be forward facing. It shouldn't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, right, to rip us apart, to bring punishment for Tav Shanai and Ches. Lehefech, Imru lefanai malchios. Straight, forward facing relationship. Shemashatam lichu osi yebuchinas panim. Right, that which you're crowning me king on Rosh Hashanah. Yes, of course, there's a feeling of trepidation, but the feeling of trepidation is based on the fact that I don't want to miss out on this relationship that Hashem is offering me. So imru lefanai malchios, right, that there should be a bechinas upon him. It should be forward facing. Vizeu imru lefanai zichronos, that it be lefanai zichronos. Again, we shouldn't be embarrassed to be remembered before Hashem. We should feel comfortable coming before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vazechira tiyel lefanai bechinas panim. That the mentioning and the remembering, the memory of Klal Yisrael should be forward facing, should be in a position that's going to allow for what? For unbelievable bracha. The lo bechinas achur, and it shouldn't be backwards. And what is achieved by this? What's the next part of the Gemara? When our relationship is forward facing, then lefanai letova. Then I can face you forward, so to speak, the way that I want to, Hashem says. And I can give you all of the bracha and ashva that I want to give. Ki b'zeh shani mashviya tovos, ritzoni b'zeh lashviya aleichem tovos. That which I want to give you goodness is my very desire, says Hashem. So allow me, Hashem says, to stay forward. My desire, right? Panim means Hashem's desire. Hashem says, my desire is that you should be zocha b'dim. Remember the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud? Jordan, you remember the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud? With Buria and Rabbi Meir? Right? And she says to him, don't daven for the destruction of the wicked. Daven for the destruction of the Aveiros. Get them back on track. Hashem doesn't want to destroy us. Hashem doesn't want to punish us. Hashem wants us to be forward-facing, face-to-face, panim el panim. Yeah? A direct relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so He can give us bracha and more bracha and more bracha. That's Hashem's ratzon. That's what it means, lefanai. Zeu kedei shetal zichronechem lefanai, b'chinas panim, litova, forward-facing, goodness. Shvetzoni b'zeh al tov lashpia. That's what Hashem says. That's what I want, that's what I desire in this world. Okay? So we just learned a beautiful pshat, a nice diuk, in a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah daf medam. But we have to come back to our pasuk now. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. So says the Berditchever in the final paragraph of this piece. Vizeu haremez v'pasuk. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem. Kulchem, how do you read the pasuk? Atem hayom lifnei Hashem b'chinas panim. Atem nitzavim hayom. Tzavim, you're standing here today, you're confident, you're hopeful, the feelings between us are positive. Atem nitzavim, you're standing, hayom, hayom we said, from the Zohar is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? Where else besides the Zohar do we know that from? Sorry to be annoying, but I'm going to keep asking. Arashi, in the first parak of Iyov, thank you. Makes me very happy. Rashi in the first parak of Iyov, right? The Satan came and was Hayom. Hayom equals Rosh Hashanah. It's a code for Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? So Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem. If we can come to Rosh Hashanah face to face with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lefanai Bechinas Panim. Right? Atem Hayom Lifnei Hashem Bechinas Panim. To be Lefanai Lifnei Hashem. V'zeh Elokeichem. Now this part is a little bit Kabbalistic to explain, but we'll take his words for it. The Berditchever says that Elokeichem is the name of Hashem that expresses HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mashpia. Hashem sending goodness, having Hashpa, influencing our world with good things. So Atem Nitzavim Hayom, it sounds strange because Elokeichem sounds like Elokim, which is Midas Adin. Okay, that's why it requires a little explanation of how it's connected to Yesod and Malchus and the sending down of Hashpa to this world. But we'll take his word for it. He says Elokeichem means Ki Amida Hamashpia Tovas LiYisrael, the Mida, the characteristic, right, maybe of the Sviros, the one that expresses Hashpa of goodness to Klal Yisrael, Hamida Hazos Nikra Elokeichem. That midah is called Elokecha. Klomar bezeh shatem nitzavim hayom lefnei Hashem. The fact that we're standing before Hashem bebechinas panim, al yedei zeh yushba aleichem kol atovos. Then all the good things can come upon us. Hanirmas b'milas Elokecham k'nisker la'el. So now you know how to read the first pasuk in this week's parsha. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem. And because you're lefnei Hashem, you're panim al panim. Because you're forward facing, you're straight, you're honest, you're serving Hashem with holy simplicity, Hashem is going to do back to you His simple ratzon, which is what? Elokeichem. To have a hashpa in this world with only good things. And then he concludes by saying, Ki milas panim hu lashon pone. The word, right? Lefanai, or lefnim, or panim, is an expression of what? Of pone. Pone means to turn towards something. So therefore what? Uba tovas Hashem Yisbarach. Sherotza lifnos la'ama Yisrael Tova. Hashem says, I want to turn towards you on Rosh Hashanah. Right? I want to turn towards you. I don't want to turn away from you. I don't want you to have to hide your face from me, and I don't want to have to hide my face from you. I want to face one another. I want to run towards one another. Lifnos la'ama Yisrael Tova, to turn towards us in a good way. Haval bahara in rotza Hashem Yisbarach. But if God forbid that something negative should happen, is not Hashem's desire, and that's called achur. She'ein Hashem yisbarach pone lizeh. So the situation that Hashem wants to turn towards, lift nose towards, to be pone towards, is ponim, face to face. Achur is not what a Kadosh Baruch Hu desires. Achur is acher. Achur is something else. It's zar. It's zaris. It's strange. It's foreign. Like we learned yesterday in Revolbi. It's away from that simple oneness of the relationship between us and Kadosh Baruch. It's going in the opposite direction. Okay? So it's an amazing way to understand the Pasuk and Kadosh Baruch Hu's essential desire to do good for Klal Yisrael. Okay, we're going to skip the next big piece. We're going to jump to the last piece in the Tzavim. It's the paragraph that begins, O Yivuar Lashon Vosircha.
It's on that page.
It is on that page? Okay. Okay, this is Perek Lamed, Pasuk Tes. Here's what the Pasuk says. Vosircha Hashem Elokecha, I'm reading the whole Pasuk. V'chol ma'aseh yadecha, v'fri vitnecha, u'v'fri v'amtecha, u'v'fri admascha. Hashem will make you abundant in all of your handiwork. Vosircha, right? Yoter. Vosircha, Hashem will make you abundant in all the things that you do. From the fruit of your womb, to the fruit of your animals, to the fruit of your land. Everything's going to blossom and flourish and reproduce, and it'll all be, like the pasuk says, good, letova. It'll all be letova. It's a good thing, Hashem says. I want it to be this way. Right? And then the pasuk concludes, Ki yashuv Hashem lasus alecha letov kasher sas alav osecha. When Hashem is able to turn towards you with goodness, the same way He was able to be good to the Avos HaKadosh. Okay? Now this is really a prediction for Torah. Look at this next Torah. Ready? Vosircha. It fits with the Sfas Emes I told you. Look what he says. What happens when you get reward in this world? What do we have to be afraid of? We have to be afraid, right? That's going to take away from our zechuyos, lasid level. That if I use up my merit of Olam Haba in this world, then I'm not going to have anything left in the bank account for the next world. And that would be very tragic. Okay? The Gemara has such a discussion that Yaakov Avinu was worried that maybe his merits were getting used up. Wasn't sure about that. So sometimes we have to be concerned that again I'm gonna use up my merits. So you read a pasuk like this that describes how Hashem is gonna do all these good things for us. I'm gonna have a lot of children, I'm gonna have a lot of animals, I'm gonna have a lot of fruit, right? My stocks are gonna rise, my business is gonna be successful, my produce is gonna flourish, yeah? So I have to be nervous, it's gonna use up my zchuyos. So it says the Riddichur, don't be nervous. You know what the word vehosircha means? Hosircha, this promise of abundance, means that you shouldn't feel that when you get all these brachos described in the pasuk, you're going to be left with nothing in the world to come. Vehosircha, you're going to have an abundance in this world and the next world. You know why? Look what he says. O yivor lashon vehosircha, klomar. When a person is zocha to receive good things in this world, you should realize, lo yinuka lanu mizel olam haba. You don't have to be nervous that it's going to detract from your portion in the world to come. Why? Ki tovas olam haza, mashrashpia aleinu Yesh lo kiviyachol nachas v'chedva. When Hashem is able to give you good things in this world, that makes Hashem happy. Hashem gets nachas from that. That means we have a good relationship. We're face to face. It's the source of chedva. It's the source of joy. Hashem wants it to be that way. So when you, this is classic berdichever, almost like empowering us over HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, right? So when you are kind enough, you, basar v'dam, human being, are kind enough, yeah? When you're kind enough to allow Hashem to give you bracha, Hashem says, wow, I'm so thankful that you allowed me to give you so much, and I want to reward you in Olam Haba for that. So the Berditcher says, you don't lose out when you receive the pleasures of this world. That's what v'hosircha means. It'll be in abundance. Meaning, klomar, shalo yenuka lacha mizchiyosecha machmas kabbalas tova solam hasa. It will not subtract. Right? Yenuka means to subtract. It will not take away from your Olam Haba by receiving the goodness of Olam Haza. Rakshatovas Olam Haza yitin l'cha yeser al scharcha. That you're going to get the rewards of this world in addition to much more. V'chol z'chiyoscha yoser l'cha l'olam haba. And all of your z'chuyos are going to be increased in Olam Haba. Ki Hashem yisbarach yesh lo tanu kishmashpia alinu tova b'olam haza. Because it makes Hashem so happy. Tanug, it gives Hashem pleasure to give us reward in this world. And therefore concludes the pasuk, as we just read, Ki Yashuv Hashem Lasus Alecha Letov. It's a source of joy. The same way Hashem was happy to give the avos an abundance of good things, right? So too Hashem is happy to give us all sorts of good things. It makes Hashem happy. And if you make God happy, then God rewards you for making Him happy. So you benefit both in this world and in the next world. And that's the Hosircha. There'll be such an abundance. And again, that's how we have to realize. To realize that the Berditcher is trying to teach us how to look at our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is not some evil controlling dictator in the heavens, some abusive leader, right, who's trying to control his subjects. He built this whole kingdom because he wants us to enjoy it. And he wants us to partner with him in building the kingdom. To realize that if he's a melech, what does that make us, my friends? Makes us princes, makes us b'nei malachim. Yeah? What Tzadok has in the Pri Tzadok. What Tzadok coin of Lublin in Pri Tzadok Parshas Shkalim. In Os Dalid. What Tzadok says that when the Jews, Gemara says, when the Jews said Nasa v'nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and placed a crown on each head, on the head of each Jew, one crown for Nasa and one crown for Nishma. Yeah? 600,000 angels came down and placed crowns on the heads of the Jewish people, a crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma. So Tzadok asked the question, Pre-Tzadok Parsha Shkalim, if everyone wears the crown, who's the king? Good question, no? The crown is the thing that makes someone distinct, makes them set apart. If every Jew is wearing the crown, so who's the king? So Tzadok says something that Rabbi Nachman has in two pieces in Lakutei Moran as well, and that is that every Jew has a Nekuda of Malchus. Every Jew has an aspect of being a king, being the best at something that no one else in the world can fill in for you. You're the most dominant in that aspect of Avodas Hashem. In a certain way that you daven, in a certain way that you think, in a certain type of Torah that you like to learn, in the way that which you learn it, in the certain midah that you work on and develop. You are the best. You have a chelik in Torah that Rav Chaim Kanievsky can't touch. You're the melech in that chelik in Torah. No one in the world, no matter how knowledgeable and smart and levels of tzidkus they have, they can't touch it. You wear the crown. So we have to realize that if we're crowning Hashem, if we're crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Rosh Hashanah, then we have to remind ourselves that we also wear the crown. That we're b'nei malachim. Right? Or maybe even malachim mamish. Maybe we're worthy of being called kings. When Rav Simcha Zisel, the altar of Kalm, would wake his children up in the morning, he used to say to them, right? He said, wake up, you have to get up. Why do you have to get up? Because you have a kingdom to rule over. How could you sleep away your days when you have a kingdom to rule over? Right? And that's what the shofar is doing. Uri Yishena Mishenasam. The shofar is waking us up to rule the kingdom with Hashem. And that's exactly what this piece is saying. Hashem said, I want to partner with you. I'm not out to get you. I want to give you reward in this world, and I want you to make me so proud that I'm going to give you even more reward in the next world. Okay? Totally different way of looking at a relationship with Hashem, instead of again being crushed by the weightiness of Avodas Hashem. The Berditchever opened up a new pathway, gates of love. And that's the avodah, in my humble opinion, that's the avodah in our times. The year approach, the heavy-handed approach doesn't work. Let's talk about making a Kodesh Baruch Hu proud. Let's not focus on disappointing, right? Let's not focus on how much we've disappointed Hashem. Let's talk about the potential of how happy we can make a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tanuk. Pleasure to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? Yeah.
If Hashem wants just to do good for us and enjoy the world, not in pleasure sense, then why make it so...
I make it so challenging. Right. The classic answer is Nahama de Chisufa, shameful bread. That if you want to really enjoy something, you have to earn it. If someone gives you a handout, you get your lunch for free every day, you don't enjoy it as much. Right? You enjoy the food you buy with dollars more than you enjoy the food you buy with the CAF card. Because you've invested in it in a different way. You're also paying for it on the CAF card, I understand. But when you work for something, how you enjoy it that much more. So Hashem put us in a world where we have to work. It's not easy, right? But Hashem set us up to be matzliach. And Hashem's greatest desire is that we should be matzliach. Okay? And we have to believe that it's possible for us to have a very successful stay in Olam Hazeh. So we have to believe.
Okay?
No, menuka means yenuka. Chedva means like simcha. Right? Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Vachetva. Yeah. Got it. That's what I'm saying? Oh, no? Okay. Yeah. Avram Yitzchak, let's hear.
If the highest form of pleasure is spiritual pleasure, say, so then why would Hashem create a physical world?
That's a good question. Why do I have to... Again, these are bigger questions than we're going to go into right now. But part of... I'm not even going to try to start. Because then the quinches will watch already pop back into my head, and then okay, this is the world. This is Mashiach. This is Olam Haba. Right, meaning eternal existence according to not the Rambam, but according to the Ramban and all the Mekubalim, the Maharal, and many tzaddikim. Right, Olam Haba is not that your neshama lives on permanently without a body, but the body and the soul work hand in hand to live in a perfected state for eternity. Which sounds shocking, because we always picture Olam Haba as my neshama lives forever. No, we're going to perfect ourselves. We're going to be... Who was Panim El Panim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Keep talking about Panim. Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah? Did Moshe's body ever get old? Did Moshe's eyesight, did Moshe wear glasses? Did Moshe's hearing start to go bad?
He died
because he had to die. But the Torah makes it very clear. It's explicit. It's not a Medrash, it's not a Gemara, it's a Pasuk in Chumash. He's a full strength. Moshe Rabbeinu's body is full strength on the last day of his life. And the reason is because he was Panim El Panim. He was Panim El Panim. Okay. He was Aras Vatayim until he got the Torah. Medrash, the beginning of Devarim Rabbah, says that once they got the Torah healed them. Just like at Har Sinai, everyone was healed. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Aras Vatayim until he was healed by Torah. But the Medrash says he was healed by Torah. Became a very good spokesman for Klal Yisrael. Be right. Which the body was not always perfect. Yeah.
Where does the concept of Olam Haba come from? All the references in the Torah.
It's a good question. Anyone want to answer that one? Where's the source that there's anything beyond this world? All it says is that if you, and I'll do the mitzvos. You said it this morning in Shema. Do the mitzvos, and I'll make it rain. Where does it say do the mitzvos, and you'll get eternal bliss? I mean, Pirkei Avos talks about it, but so what? Where is it? Where is it in Torah? Where is it in Torah?
Gracious, the word.
Yeah, let's hear.
When Yaakov passes away, it says, and then he was gathered to his people.
Okay, it means they buried him alongside his ancestors. I understand. Could be. No, but you're right. It is a glaring omission. You're right. You're 100% right. But it's a glaring omission that the Torah doesn't focus on Olam Haba. So there's a famous Kliyakar in Parshas Bechukosai where he collects many different opinions as to why that is. Collects from many Rishonim and early Achronim as to why the Torah does not explicitly mention Olam Haba. One reason is that the Torah doesn't have the... One of the reasons is that the Torah doesn't have the words to convey Olam Haba in a way that's Shavah L'chol Nefesh. I think it's the Ibn Ezra who says, the Torah is written in a way that every person can have access to it. The only way to describe Olam Haba, can't describe it, and there's no like pashup shot description of Olam Haba. It's deep, deep, deep things. So to write that in the Torah, making that section of the Torah describing Olam Haba inaccessible, right, would not be fair to those Jews who couldn't. Right, so you could at least mention that there is Olam Haba. So one answer is sort of what we're saying, that this is Olam Haba. Yeah, rain in this world is Olam Haba. Life in this world is Olam Haba. But again, this is much beyond the scope of where we're going today. Okay? But these are good questions. Maybe we'll do a series of Sunday shiurim on this kind of questions. It'd be very worthwhile. Okay, let's learn the Haftorah for Nitzavim. A beautiful Haftorah we have this Shabbos. Nitzavim Bayelach, when they call it together, we read Haftorah's Nitzavim. Let me read you just a few psukim, just to give you a taste of the Haftorah. It's from Yeshaya, Perek Samach Aleph into Perek Samach Gimel. And again, it fits the theme that we've been talking about. How does the Haftorah begin? Anyone know how the Haftorah begins in Shabbos? Sos Asis Ba'Hashem. Sos Asis Ba'Hashem. Now, that this pasuk sits closer to the end of the Haftorah, at the Berdich of our quotes. I want to read you from the beginning of the Haftorah just to start. Sos Asis Ba'Hashem. Tagel Nafshi Belokai. Interesting, no? As you get closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah, this is the Haftorah. Where's the Yira? Where's the Din? So is Asis Bashem. I'll rejoice with Hashem. Togel Nafshi Belokai. My soul shall exult with my God. Ki Hilbishani Bigdei Yesha. Because He clothed me in garments of salvation. Garments of salvation, I'm confident. I'm going to show up on Yom Kippur wearing white. Some people on Rosh Hashanah wear a kittel also. White? You're so sure you're innocent? You're so clean? You're so pure? But again, a Jew comes to the Yom HaDin with confidence that Hashem wants things to be good and He's going to work it out. Okay? And the Haftorah goes on very beautifully describing, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering Tzion, remembering the desolate places of Eretz Yisrael, and how everything is going to be transformed, and Eretz Yisrael will be transformed, it'll be ours once again. And then the Haftorah concludes, Parach Samach Gimel, Mizeh Ba Me'edom Chametz Begadim. Who is the one who's coming from Edom, adorned in red garments? Right? Mi Batra. Who's coming from Batra? Edom, Batra. Esav, right? Esav, the red one. So we come to this Shabbos, which, my friends, let's pause and think just for half a second. This is the last Shabbos of the year. It's the last Shabbos of the year. It's not a small thing. Right? The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Yud Beis that everything follows the conclusion. So regardless of what your Shabbos has looked like throughout the year, probably some better than others, if you make the last Shabbos strong, Hakol Holech Achar Achitum, everything follows the conclusion. You end off strong, you could transform all the Shabbos of the year with this Shabbos. So again, we're highlighting the fact that what? That we're dressed in garments of salvation, we're filled with joy, we're confident, like the Navi, like it says in Sefer Nehemiah, right? Chedvas Hashem Himuhuzchem. Chedva, Simcha, positive. Rosh Hashanah, we come to the day energized with great possibility, as opposed to the one who's coming from Edom, Esav, Galus Edom, which we're in right now, right? Chamutz begadim, with garments that are chamutz, that are stained, that are dirtied. Okay? And then how does the Haftorah end? Now look inside, Kedusha Slevi. The Haftorah ends, Chaste Hashem Azkir, Tihilos Hashem, Kal Kol Asher Gamalanu Hashem. The kindness of Hashem will I mention. The praises of Hashem, in accordance with all that Hashem has bestowed upon us. And the abundant goodness, the abundant goodness of the house of Yisrael, which He bestowed upon them in His compassion, and in accordance with His kindness. There's two more psukim in the Haftorah after that. But this is, thank you Hashem for giving me the possibility of life. Thank you for making me a Jew. Thank you for giving me a mitzvah called tshuva. Okay? So says the Berditchra, let's learn this long piece on the Haftorah for Nitzav. And this will be the last piece we learn today. Nira ki ne bayamim noram iker mevukashaso shall adam me'es habori esbarach yiye ba'avur Shabori Yisbarach mitzad tuvo v'chasto chofetz la'ashpil amo Yisrael. By what right do I come so confidently to Rosh Hashanah? In what merit do I say Zachreinu l'chaim melech chofetz b'chaim? But that's really the answer. Melech chofetz b'chaim. You desire life. You want to do good things for us. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, I'm not worthy, But I'm asking you to have rachmanis. I'm asking you to use your midah of chesed, and I'm asking you to give me another chance. Yeah, Av Harachman, right? Father, merciful Father, please have rachmanis upon me. Give me a chance to start over. Right? Allow me to undergo that transformation. B'nai Sassur says that the gematria of Av Harachman, no. Who wants to add to that? Av is 3. Yeah? Av Harachman.
Three oh one.
You're guessing? Okay, Av Harachman. Yeah. Av Harachman is gematria 306. It's gematria devash. Why? Dip the apple in the honey. Yeah, make a bracha loud and clear. You know the story? What's that about? You think it's just a cute idea to dip the apple in the honey? Yeah? It's sweet. You should have a sweet new year. Yeah? What is that? The answer is because honey, dvash, is gematria av harachman. In tapuach, when you immerse your tapuach in the dvash, what happens? What's the gematria of tapuach? What's the gematria of tapuach? What's the gematria of tapuach?
494.
What's the gematria of neshama? 395. What's the gematria of guf? 89. So what's the gematria of neshama plus guf, which is what you are? 494 is tapuach. So you take yourself, you take your tapuach, yeah? And you dip it into Av Harachman. You immerse it fully, soak it in Av Harachman. Yeah? I'll say it again. Tapuach, this is from a sefer called Chamra Tava. Chamra Tava says tapuach is 494. No, it's not the name. The Rebbe of Baranov. Yeah, you should give us drasha at the table. No, you should let people know, you know. Your 3-year-old sisters, you know, singing dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear. Yes, you should say, that's very nice. Right? We do mitzvahs because Hashem said so, but I want to explain also what we're doing. Tapuach is 494. Tapuach is guf plus neshama. Chamra Tava is the name of the sefer. Chamra with an aleph. Tava with an aleph. Chamra Tava. Ches mem resh aleph. Tes beis aleph. Chamra Tava. The Rebbe Barana. Yeah, so tapuach is 494. It's guf plus neshama. So you dip it into devash. You dip it into Av Harachman. Sfarim also say that Musar is gematria devash. When a person learns Musa, you transform yourself. What does honey do? Honey has a transformative property. No, Devash is 306. Devash is 306. Okay? So when you dip your tapuach into Devash, you put your neshama and your guf into Devash, Devash being gematria av harachman, right? Then you become transformed. Musa is also gematria av harachman, 306. So when you learn Musa, it transforms you. Right? But also Av Harachman, if you turn to Hashem's mercy, you say, Av Harachman, beloved, merciful Father, I need your help, that also transforms a person. And again, the reason we use honey is because honey is transformative. Even in Halacha, there's a question, why are we allowed to eat honey? Sometimes part of the bee gets stuck in the honey. A leg, a wing, right? Sometimes a bee gets covered in honey, it falls in. Why are you allowed to eat honey? Don't have to be concerned. That there's non-kosher, you know, insects in my honey? And the answer is that no, because what does honey do to anything that's put into honey? It turns it into honey. Yeah, absolutely true. You take a rock from the street, you put it in honey, you leave it there long enough, it'll turn into honey. Honey transforms everything. So you take tapuach, you take your guf and your neshama, and you dip it into dvash, and you become transformed. Okay? How did we get to that?
I don't know. That was
I was saying Avarachman is Gematria Dvash. Right, so Kodesh Bar, right, so that's okay, good. So says the Berditchever, Nira Kihineva Yamim no Raim Iker Mubukashas, social autom, the primary request of a man, Me'is Haborias Barach, Yebavor, Shaborias Barach, Mitzad Tuva Vachasto, Hashem, because you're so good and you're so nice and you're so kind and you're so loving, you're so caring, you're so merciful, for all those reasons, Chafetz Lashpil Amo Yisrael, you want to do good for us. I don't deserve good. I don't show up in Rosh Hashanah pretending I'm a tzaddik. I know I made a lot of mistakes this past year, but Hashem, you're very merciful. V'lo mitzad zuchuso sheyesh lo. I don't come here in my own merit. Eliyasa atzmo ka'ani v'rash. But I make myself like a poor person who's desperate. K'maymer chazal kol shana sherashin b'tchilasa v'chulu. And a year that's poor at the beginning will be rich in the end. What does it mean to have start the year in a poor way? It means I come before Hashem like an ani. Tefillah la'ani. Kedalim ukirashim, de facto de la secha. I'm knocking on your door like a dal, like a poor person, like a rash, like a person who doesn't have of his own. Ki ikr lamud ka'ani bepesach, I stand like a poor person, humbled at the doorway. Ve'achshov shel rash in kol zchus v'lamaisim tofim. I don't deserve your money, but I'm asking for your chesed. I'm asking for your help. And what's the difference between the person who asks for Hashem's mercy and Hashem's merit, and the person who asks in his own merit? What's the difference between the two? Even a person, by the way, you'll see, who has the merit, should still ask for the chesed of Hashem. Yeah? Moshe had a lot of merit. And Moshe davened 515 tefillos. And if you remember Rashi at the beginning of Eschanan, Moshe asked for what? Matnas chinam, free gift. Why didn't Moshe say, Hashem, I want to collect on 40 years of providing for your people? Moshe didn't do that. Moshe said, I need a gift. So why is it? What's the advantage of asking for Hashem's kindness versus trying to say, you owe me? Because when you ask in your own merit is within what? Is within gvulim, is within boundaries, within borders. Even if you're the best Jew, there's only so much you did. And your reward is commensurate to that effort. You say, Hashem, you owe me. I did ABC, so you owe me XYZ. So Hashem says, okay. But then you only get that. You only get exactly what you earned. But when you ask Hashem, help me, because you love me, Hashem, because you're kind and generous, then you're asking for what? You're asking for something that's eternal. You're not just asking for Chaim, another year of life, you're asking for Chaim Nitzchim, eternal life. You're asking for something that's endless, like God Himself. Because there are no limits, there are no boundaries. Are no limitations to his kindness and to his influence. So now let's come back to the pasuk. Says the Berditcher. Next paragraph. V'zeh kavanas ha-pasuk. V'rav tuv lebeis Yisrael. We say Hashem. Chaste Hashem haskir. Yeah. Tehilos Hashem. I sing the praises of Hashem, and I ask you, Hashem, for rav tuv, not just tov, not plain tov, rav tuv. I want an abundance of goodness in my life. Yeah. Hey Masai, who he rav tuv? When is it rav tuv? Not just a little bit good. Dainu she'ein la kitzva l'ashpa. When is it? How do we create such a relationship that we're zocha to get endless hashva, as the pasuk says, asher gimalam kirachamav ukirov chasadav. When we ask for Hashem to give us out of mercy and out of kindness, then that which we're given is endless. Vezeu gam kavalas apasuk is theme. Tension that we say in the pasuk every morning, Pesuk in Zimra, pasuk in Tehillim Pei Aleph. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hama'alcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Harchev Picha V'Amaleihu. Harchev Picha V'Amaleihu. Widen your mouth and I will fill it. Meaning what? However big you make the kli, that's how big HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fill the kli. Dahainu Shetavakesh Harbe Ma'od. Don't ask for a small. On Rosh Hashanah, you should be comfortable asking for everything. Because you're not asking in your own merit. You're asking an endless God to give you endless bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited. He's an Ein Sof. So therefore, don't be shy to ask for what? Ask for everything. Yeah? Ask for everything. Don't be shy. Yeah?
There was an idea last week that we wrote in Masik's Parsha about not just saying, Hashem, give me this, but rather say, Hashem, I'm here for you.
Okay, good. So we're gonna come back to that point in a second. Right? Because we do have to be careful as we do this. We have to be careful. The Zohar says we shouldn't show up on Rosh Hashanah and say, right, give me. Have. I'm barking like a dog, saying, give me this and give me that. That's true. That is true. We can't only ask for ourselves. We have to ask on behalf of Hashem. But again, that's sort of what we're saying here. We're saying, Hashem, you like doing good things. Do it for yourself. L'mancha Elokim Chaim. L'mancha, for your sake. You like doing good things to us. We're not worthy, right? And we're not asking for bracha and parnasa and atzlacha and refuah. We're not asking for those things in our own merit. We're simply asking for you, because we know that's what you like. So in that way, it's not a selfish tefillah. It's not give me, right? It's give yourself, Hashem, l'mancha, do it for you. Okay? So when we ask in this way, it's endless. It's endless. It's not limited. It's not limited in any way. We're able to ask for everything. It's a really important thing to keep in mind in davening. We sometimes set our sights on such, you know, low results in davening. I always tell chassanim before they get married, something that I saw once from the Belzer Rebbe. I don't know which Belzer Rebbe it was. I saw this before I got married. The Belzer Rebbe said that when a person goes to the chuppah, you should ask for everything. Everything you can think of. The Belzer Rebbe says at the end, you say a little tefillah to Hashem. And says, Hashem, I know that even what I thought I was asking for everything, I know there's much more that you could give me, and maybe you want to give me. And I know that I probably asked for some things that are not proper for me. So Hashem, I'm signing off my tefillah by saying that you should, you know, rearrange my tefillahs to give me the things that I need, that I didn't ask for, and to not give me the things that I shouldn't have, which I did ask for. But you should ask for everything. The heavens are open. Rosh Hashanah. Everything's open. You should ask. Yeah? Ein kitzvah. There's no limits. Right? As we like to sing in the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. Ein kitzvah. There are no limitations to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. And therefore you should feel comfortable asking for everything. You should ask for Mashiach. You should daven for Geula Shlema. I'll tell you a remez. I had half of it before I started this year, and I have the other half right now. When we ask for Geula, we ask for Geula many times in davening, right? It's one Esther, we ask for Geula many different ways. Esemach David Avdecha, Yushalayim Yircha. The first place we, already in the opening bracha, we're asking for Geula, right? In Re'ei Ve'anyenu, Biriva Rivenu. Yeah? In Nusach Svarit it says it a little bit different. What does it say? Right? It says Gula Shlema. Exactly. Yeah? Ugalenu Mehera Gula Shlema. Yeah. Ugalenu Geula Shlema Mehera Laman Shemecha. Okay? Geula is spelled without a vav. I don't know why, but every sitter I check, it's spelled without a vav. What's the gematria of Geula Shlema?
Add it up.
Geula Shlema. The way that it's spelled in your sitter.
What's the vav without?
Shlema?
No.
Geula is without a vav. Gimel Aleph Lamed Hey. It's 39. Shlema without a yud. Shin Lamed Nam Hey. Okay, so what is that? So 39, 375 and 39 is 414. Yeah? 414. What's 414? What's 414? So the Sfarim talk about one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Menachem Mendel Shklover, Menachem Mendel of Shklov, says the following remez about 414. He says, and again it requires a little explanation, I'll just tell you what he says. He says that When we say in Shema V'ahavta, what's the gematria of V'ahavta? Vav Aleph Hey Beis Tav. It's 414. V'ahavta is 414. He doesn't talk about Geula Shlema, but I'll tell you what he does say. He says 414 is V'ahavta. Yeah, we have to have Ava, Avas Yisrael, Avas Hashem, Avas Torah. Okay. He says, but what's 414? So what Galus are we in now? We're in Galus Edom and also?
Yishmael.
We're in Galus Edom and Galus Yishmael. Okay? Who is the leader of Edom? In other words, who is the founder of Christianity?
Yeshu.
Okay? Yeshu. What's the gematria of Yeshu? Yin, Yud, Shin, Vav? 316. Who's the founder of Christianity? I'm sorry, of Islam? Muhammad. In Lashon HaKodesh it's spelled Mechumad. Mem, Ches, Vav, Mem, Dalet. So what's the gematria of Yeshu plus Mechumad? 414. So Menachem Mendel of Shklov says Vahavta's gematria Yeshu plus Muhammad. Okay. So I want to add that when we say in Re'eh, when we ask for Geula Shlema, that's what we're asking for. Geula Shlema is the end of the final Gullus, the Gullus of Edom and Yishmael, a world dominated by Christians and Muslims, and a tiny percent of humanity being Klal Yisrael. And when we ask for Geula Shlema, we're asking for the downfall of these two false religions founded by Yeshu and Muhammad. Yeah? At 414 is gematria Geula Shlema. But here's what I want to add right now. I want to add a piece. Because the Berditcher is saying, when it comes to Yom Noran, when it comes to asking, if we ask in our own merits, we ask for small things. Hashem, I need a new car. Hashem, I stubbed my toe and it hasn't healed fully yet. We get into a katnus hamochin. We don't think big. We have to think big. We have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless. What is the phrase that we use to describe Hashem as being endless? Ein Sof. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called in the Sfarim HaKadoshim an Or Ein Sof. An Or Ein Sof, an endless light. Light is the best mashal for God because it fills our world and we can't hold it in our hand. That's what the Ramchal says. That's why light is a good mashal for Hashem. So Hashem is an Or Ein Sof, an endless light. He's not actually light and he's much more than endless. The B'nai Yisasar, in one of his Sfarim called Regel Yeshara, says that the gematria of Or is 207 and the gematria of Ein Sof is 207. So that Or is Ein Sof. Yeah? Or is gematria Ein Sof. Because light, you have to picture Hashem as being endless like the light. But what's the gematria of Or Ein Sof? Put it together. Or Ein Sof is 414. So when we come to Rosh Hashanah, if we come with this perspective of the Berditchever, if we have an Ein Kitzva mindset, if we see that Hashem, you are endless, you're an Or Ein Sof, then we can ask for big things. Then we can ask for a big upset that the billions of Christians and Muslims will come to Klal Yisrael and tell us, they say, teach us about the true God. That's a revolution. That's a davash. That's the complete transformation. Okay, but we have to ask for big things. We can't allow ourselves to be small-minded coming into these days. Let's keep reading. I'll go over it after because I wanna finish the piece for those who need to go. But I'll go over the Ramazim afterwards if you want to get them down. Okay. V'zeu perish ma'amar Chazal. This is what it means in Yom HaChavtesamad Aleph. Lama nimshul tzadikim ka'ayala. Why are tzadikim compared to the ayala? Ma'ayala kol zman shemigadeles karnoseh mispatzlos. Just like as the ayala grows, its horns branch outwards. They spread outwards, they get bigger. As it grows, its horns also multiply. And they branch out in different directions. And they become layered one upon another. Kach tzadikim kol zman shemar betfila tfilas nishmas. So too when a tzadik gives a tefillah, the tefillah what? It disperses. It has a very wide range. The tzaddik doesn't ask for one little thing. The tzaddik knows how to daven in a way that has broad and far-reaching ramifications. Da'inu shamar bim betfila. What does it mean to be mar bim betfila? How do you have such expansive tefillahs? How do you do that? The answer is perish shemavakshem shiashvil em aborias var har beitovos. The tzaddik knows I don't ask in my own merit. I ask for Hashem's kindness. So a riboy of tov, right? Like the pasuk said, "V'rav tuv, avor anvasanusan shel tzadikim." The tzaddik, in his humility, asks sheikar bakashasam avor chaste abori. He doesn't ask for himself; he asks for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ulahachi mevakshin har betovos, and therefore he's allowed to ask a lot. We're in you know why we don't ask a lot? Because we are asking for ourselves. You know why we feel like we feel uncomfortable? Because we're asking for ourselves. So How much can I ask for myself without getting uncomfortable? But the tzaddik who's asking for Hashem, who's asking that Hashem, you should fulfill your desire to bring goodness to the world, then the tzaddik's not ashamed to ask for everything. He can ask for anything and everything, for everyone. Tzaddik's not asking in his merit, he's asking in Hashem's kindness. And therefore, there are no limitations. Okay, next paragraph. V'abuchinazu Amar Gamkin Harav HaKadosh Moreinu Menachem Mendel Mibar. Who's Moreinu Menachem Mendel Mibar? So Bar is short for Berdichev. Menachem Mendel from Berdichev. Who's Menachem Mendel from Berdichev? I don't really know much about Menachem Mendel from Berdichev. But apparently he was a Rav, he was a Tzaddik who lived in Berdichev alongside the Berdichever, and he told him the following insight. Nachla, we say in the Zmiros, right? Nachlas Yaakov Yirosh, Beli Mitzarim Nachla. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nachlas Yaakov Yirosh, we should inherit the portion of Yaakov, Beli Mitzarim, without any boundaries. Nachla, that should be our inheritance, that should be our portion. So what does that mean? Dahainu. Shem Tach, Potslavakish, Mesabore, Baruch Hu, Avor Chasidav, Velo Mitzad Zuchu Yosecha. If you ask Hashem for kindness, not for your own zechus, rak tas as b'chol ki ilu ein b'chol zechus klal, I don't have any of my own merit. Dainu nachlas Yaakov. I want to inherit the nachlas Yaakov. Meaning what? In what merit am I asking? What do you mean by nachlas Yaakov? What do you think that means? Nachlas Yaakov. Nachlas Yaakov means I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew, so I know that you giving me good things fulfills your greatest desire. I, as an individual, I'm not so special. But I'm part of Nachlas Yaakov. I'm part of the family of Yaakov Avinu. Da'ainu shetavakish me'aborim baruch hu mitzad rachma v'lo mitzad zuchu yosecha. And then, what do we say? Nachlas Yaakov. If I inherit the portion of Yaakov, then b'li meitzarim nachla. Then my portion, my inheritance is not limited in any way. Because again, I'm tapping into something that is bigger than my own personal merit. And therefore it becomes endless. Okay? This is how a Jew is supposed to daven. Every tefillah is supposed to be very expansive. Tzaddik davens in an expansive way. Without limitations. I'll just tell you one remez that the Svarim bring. What's the gematria of tefillah? I'm sorry, I'm in a gematria mood. Tefillah is 515. Tefillah is spelled without a yud. Tefillah is 515. Yeah? The Svarim say that Nachala B'li Meitzarim is Gematria 515. Nachala B'li Meitzarim. A portion without limitations. Yeah? That's what we say. The Gemara says, Kol Ma'aneges HaShabbos, anyone who treats Shabbos properly, is Zocha to a Nachala B'li Meitzarim. Nachala B'li Meitzarim is 515. Because again, if I understand the Sod of Tefillah, the secret of Tefillah, Tefillah is not supposed to operate in some small little dimension. I got a flat tire this morning. Hashem, I could use your help with that. Right? Tefillah is supposed to expand outwards. It's a nachala b'li meitzarim. It's an endless portion. And that's exactly what he's saying in this Torah from Rav Nachman Mendel Berdichev. That nachala is Yaakov. When I become part of Klal Yisrael, when I tap into Knesset Yisrael, when I'm connected to the world of Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, then it just opens up and I get so much more. Okay? Uvederach mashal nira levar. Perhaps we can explain with a mashal, and this is very sweet. Look at this mashal. The melech shenasan matana l'shnei avadav b'shava. Imagine a king who gave a gift to two of his people, the same gift. Ach mitzad mekablem hayeshnei b'chinos. But the recipients of the gift received it in very different ways. What does that mean? Echad hechshev es matana ba'atzma machves chashuvasa. The king gave an expensive watch to two people. So one person said, wow, an expensive watch. It's a $25,000 watch. The king gave me such a gift. And he's very nispal from the gift itself. The echad hechshev es matana shemachves matana nira umucha shemelech oavo. Machves shenosan la matana kazu. The second one didn't focus on the fact that what? That the gift was so nice. He says, it's so special that the king loves me so much that he would give me such a nice gift. And he got greater pleasure from knowing that he has that relationship with the king than he did from the gift itself. So says the Berdichever, the difference between these two things is the difference between that which is limited and that which is endless. The Ahavta, 414. Yeah? Do I try to feel Hashem's love or do I care about the little details of getting reward or punishment? Says the Radichever, the one who receives the watch, which is worth $25,000, so his pleasure is limited to the value of the watch, $25,000 worth of pleasure. But the one who felt, wow, the king loves me and he gave me a gift, how much pleasure did he get? It's endless. Because the love of the king for him is endless. It's an ava that's ainat tluya b'davar. It's an endless love. So there's a great difference, he says, shebein shnei b'chinos. Da b'china echad, b'china achas, yesh la keitz v'sof, la'amatana, lefi godel arka. That the gift is in accordance with its value. Acha b'china asheini, but the second one, ein la keitz, keiva she'ein roa el matana, he's not focused on the matana, he's focused on the avas ha'melech. The avas ha'melech ein la shir v'erech l'chol davar, she'etztarich. And now the Radichever comes back one last time to our pasuk, the final paragraph. V'zekavanas akasuf, v'rav tuv lebeis Yisrael. Be part of Beis Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah, don't come to Rosh Hashanah as a yachid. Of course, Hashem judges each individual in Rosh Hashanah, but you should want to get in with the tzibur. If you get in with the tzibur, if you're connected to Hashem, if you're connected to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, then rav tuv lebeis Yisrael. Again, he's saying it a lot of times. It sounds repetitive if we're just learning an idea. If we're davening over it, then it's not repetitive. You can say it as many times as you want. And he concludes, he says, and that's the pshat in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Ma yofis, ma na'amt, ava b'ta'anugim. What is the concept of ava b'ta'anugim? Ki zeh she'ino, the one who only thinks about the gift. The person who thinks about the gift got one thing. A very valuable thing, but he got one thing, a limited thing. But the one who focused on the king, he got the watch. He also gets the watch. But he got something much bigger than that. He got a love that's much greater. Aleph, Mashanira, Me'amatana, Avas HaMelech, Elov, V'zehu Iker. V'gam, he also, secondary, he also got the watch, he got the matana, which gave him pleasure. So that's what the pasuk means. Ma Yofis, Klomar, Ma Yofa. Look how he reads the pasuk, it's beautiful. You saw the pasuk, Shir HaShirim? Ma Yofis, Umana Amt, Avav Tanugim. He says, you're asking, it's a question. Ma Yofis, Ma Yofa, what's better? The watch, or the fact that Hashem loves you and He gave you the watch? And the answer of Shir HaShirim is what? Ava v'ta'anugim. That there should be ta'anugim, plural. If you got the watch, you didn't get ta'anugim, you got ta'anug, you got one ta'anug, you got the watch. But if you got the ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're zochet ta'anugim. Then you got so much more. And then you're able to tap into that nachal of b'limei tzar. So Mir Tzashem, we should come to the last Shabbos of the year. I just told you the Gemara 10 seconds ago. Kol ma'anegas haShabbos, a person who treats Shabbos right, is zochet to a nachla b'li meitzar. Is zochet to a portion that's without limitations. Shabbos is endless. Kadosh Baruch Hu is endless. We should try to see ourselves as connected to that. Not limited human beings filled with averos and small-mindedness. But to try to tap into this big, big gift and bracha of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then Amir Tzashem will bring down tremendous brachos and shefa on Klal Yisrael. For Tav Shanayim Chas. Shkoyach.